Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to another installment of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's brought to you by Mr. B Clothing down there at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive. I'm Chris Williams, joined today by a special guest, good friend, only Buffalo Bills fan in the state of Iowa, Scott Sipker. What's up, Scott?
Not too much. The Buffalo Bills aren't. We're doing a little bit better this year. I think we actually legitimately have a playoff team.
Do you really?
But we have Buffaloed our way through the season. So that means we've lost games we shouldn't, like to the Houston Texans and to the Chiefs, where we fumble it inside the five and we also can't catch a punt. So we should be in the middle of the playoff race, but now we're essentially eliminated because we have a game against New England and a game against Green Bay left.
You guys got lucky in that game against the Vikings earlier this year.
That was
pure luck.
We have a great defensive line in that game specifically. We were just rolling.
It was utter luck. Did you? I don't even know how you could sleep that night just knowing how lucky your team got. I would actually feel bad. If the Vikings would have won a game like that, I would feel bad for the other team's fans.
We have had such bad luck throughout my entire life. We can start with the Norwood field goal.
Dude, Music City Miracle. I feel you, man.
Yeah, so I have no sympathy at all for luck in the game of football.
I want to tell people, we've known each other a long time. So we I think we have pretty good chemistry. I think this will be fun. I've been wanting to get you in for a podcast for a while now. So we first met back in, 2004?
Yeah, 2005.
2005. We were both in the theater department.
At Iowa State.
At Iowa State, believe it or not.
Pearson 214, second floor.
Yes, acting. I believe I took acting one and two with you.
I think you. I think it was acting two.
Oh, okay. It was two for sure.
Yes, with Patrick.
Yes,
with Doc.
Doc, the all-time great.
That's right, Patrick Guy.
Hey, we'll give a shout out to our guy Doc.
Heck yeah, man. It was really cool. I just performed at the 100th year anniversary of the starting of the theater department,
yeah.
And
that was cool.
It was really cool. Doc passed away just 2 years ago now, and. It was just cool to be at that event and perform. He was the first person, if you ever go to Fisher Theater, he's the very first person to ever perform on the Fisher Theater stage.
Really?
And the reason he got to do that was he went in there, essentially trespassed, while it was still being built. And there was just a few boards on the stage, and he walked out on stage and performed a monologue. And so he's the first one. And now you'll see in the lobby there's a plaque to Doc, Patrick Gowron, that he's the first person to perform on that stage. But so it was just good to get back there. And I delivered a monologue Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, which is a beautiful soliloquy. And it kind of talks about, it talks about death and passing on and stuff like that. So it was just cool. And they had him play. I hadn't heard his voice in so long. They had his recording of, turn off your cell phones. Welcome to Fisher Theater, that type of thing. So it was a really cool night.
That's cool. Any of the old crew there? Anybody else?
It was me and Brendan Dunphy, who is also, for people who don't know, is in my film company, me and him and Paul Benedict. And really, it was a lot of different generations. There's a guy who's been on Parks and Rec who was there. All of these alum that I didn't really know. And so it was all from different generations. They had one guy there who closed out the night. He graduated in, I think, 1955. So you had current students all the way back there, and they're sprinkled throughout. It was a really special night, and I'm very, very honored to have been a small part of it.
That's cool. I'm looking forward to, and we're shamelessly going to promote your upcoming show here real quick, and then we're going to talk about sports. I promise. Because you guys tune into the podcast for Iowa State, Big 12, college sports talk.
Bills talk, right?
Absolutely. But I wanted to point out because we have known each other a long time. I believe. Didn't I beat you out in Bleacher Bumps?
Yes.
My one and only show at Iowa State.
The only time we went head-to-head, Chris, walked into a Bleacher Bums, which is a play. You can probably tell it better since you got in it.
I wasn't very good, though.
Wrigley. Yeah, you were solid.
I was pretty rusty. I hadn't acted in like a year. And I feel like I'd like another crack at that role.
Sure.
Myself, to be honest with you.
They keep updating the script, but for people who don't know, the whole play takes place on the bleachers of Wrigley Stadium during a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris played the lead.
Yeah.
You were the lead.
I was an angry man.
And I wanted to be that part so bad. I wanted to play your part or the blind guy.
Yes.
And I didn't get either of those parts. Can you believe that?
How did you not get
I was, well, here's the thing. When I started off acting, I was terrible. And that's right. I was just maybe a year or two into acting. I was so bad that I when I did Little Women at Iowa State, they cast me as the dad. I had to carry my dead daughter off stage, Beth, after she dies of scarlet fever. So I thought that the father would cry in that moment. Well, I wasn't a good enough actor to be able to do that. So before I would go on stage, every night I would hide backstage and I would pull out of my left breast pocket of my jacket.
You did the drops.
Teardrops. Yeah. Yep, eye drops, and just squirted them all in my face and came out. So anyway.
We've all been there.
Yep, and I winked my way through the show. I thought the dad in that show would wink a lot, so I would wink on essentially every line. Let's just say I didn't get cast for a whole year after that.
We, in Bleacher Bums.
Not to say you didn't deserve it. I mean, you got it. It wasn't just because I was terrible. It's because you are amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I smell what you're cooking. In Bleacher Bums, so you're drinking it. You're supposed to look like you're having a beer because, right, you're in Wrigley.
Yeah.
The whole time. And I remember the final night of the showing, I think we put real beer in there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Does Jane Cox know that? She's the director.
Well, Jane Cox, I don't think, knew it at the time.
I might have to check in with her.
Well, she did. She bought us O'Doul's is what we had.
Ah.
You know, the whole, because it needed to look like it because you're actually pouring it. And so I think it was the second act, the final night. I actually think we had real beer. That's a little inside Iowa State Theater for you.
Well, that's some trivia, man. I wish I would have had that short.
It would have been great. I wish we could have done it together. I wish you could have been the blind guy.
We could still do it, especially now with the Cubs signing Lester and having my boy Joe Madden there. He's my – if I were to pick one manager
– Madden, it's your guy?
Oh, if I were a manager, I feel like I would be just like him.
I'm not a Cubs fan, but I love Theo. I like the young guy. You know what I mean? I like the young guy, paved the way. Broke the curse in Boston. I hope the Cubs don't win a World Series because it's really fun to watch all of you guys squirm, but it'd still be a cool story. I'm more of a sports fan than I am a fan of teams, so it'd be a neat story.
Sure. That's like Keith Murphy. He's not a fan of any teams. He's just fans of stories.
Yeah.
So he'll just jump to and fro.
Yes.
And I sometimes, after watching the Bills lose or the Cubs lose or the Cyclones lose, or whoever it is lose.
Yeah, great. You have a great choice of teams.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I sometimes just think, why do I do this to myself? This is dumb. Why am I doing it? I'm just gonna.
That's how I feel with the Vikings.
I'm gonna go with the Murphy rule and just stop. But then, of course, the next week rolls around and I just jump right back on.
So you've got Macbeth coming up, and I want to give you a couple minutes to promote it. And the reason I wanted to put our background in, because I've done the live theater thing, and I've done a little bit of TV. I've done a lot of TV with my current career. But there's nothing more difficult than live theater. There's absolutely nothing even comparable. Stick me in front of a microphone with no prep, and I can do a three-hour sports talk show and really not get that nervous. I mean, I'm working it out. Yeah. You know, I'll work it out. Live theater, I mean, it is just an entirely different animal. And there's some folks out there listening, I'm sure, who have done it. If you haven't, I mean this, not just because you're my friend, but go and check this out because I'm sure it's going to be well done. And just the craft involved. It's very difficult to understand what I'm talking about unless you've done it. But it's an unbelievable skill. Anybody who can get up there, tell us a little about it. Pitch why we should go and watch your show.
Well, you know, theater, as we've been talking about already, is something I've been doing a lot longer than the Iowa Nice Guy stuff.
I back this up real quick? If it weren't for theater, there's no way I would be doing what I'm doing now. Is it the same with you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, taking that class from Doc, my sophomore year at Iowa State changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'd be sitting in a lab somewhere doing psychology research.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be doing anything like this. No, everything I'm doing now is because I got involved with theater. And but, of course, theater has a harder time reaching a whole bunch of people because it takes place in one moment at time in one location. Unlike the film stuff that we do, you know, we did Iowa Nice during the caucuses the last time around. And, heck, that reached over 1 million people. That's way bigger number than have ever seen me perform in theater.
I'll never forget when I saw you on CNN that day. I was like, what the? I hadn't seen you in a few years. I had just moved back. And all of a sudden you were on CNN. I was like washing my dishes or something. And like you're on CNN doing like pull it out. What?
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, yeah, imagine my surprise. And, you know, so we and then all this other stuff, the, you know, the two seasons we did on ESPNU and all the other different nice videos, plus the other film projects we do, you know, that takes up a lot of time. So I haven't essentially been on in a full production of live theater since Iowa Nice came out, and I really wanted to get back into it because it's my true love. This is also a dramatic piece, and I know I'm going to have a lot more comedy work in my life, but I prefer drama.
Yeah.
Producing this show made it, along with Kristen Larson, who is the director of theater at Grandview, where we're performing in the Viking Theater. I was able to manipulate the schedule so that it worked for me.
Attaboy.
egotistically. So, but now Macbeth, and you're talking about, you know, hopefully if people come, it doesn't quite look as difficult as it is, but it is, especially something as deep as Shakespeare. It is something that hopefully, though, will look like Aaron Rodgers throwing the football. And not like Tim Tebow throwing football.
My point, there's a lot of people out there who I'm sure have enjoyed and appreciated your work, the Iowa Nice character, over the years. And I, being that we're a small business, I know how much just people, you know, buying a suit at Mr. B Clothing or buying a car from Wilson Toyota, how much that means to us. So my whole thing is you're not directly asking these people for money when you're doing the Iowa Nice stuff for free. I would love to see them go out and support you. And I think even if you're not a theater geek like we are, we both love it. I think you'll appreciate it. And I about promise you, you'll have a good time.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, this is a time our tickets are $15, $10 for students. We tried to keep that low. That's about half of what a theater ticket or less even than that, than a normal theater ticket is. And that's because we have some great sponsors. Dr. Richard Deming has jumped on board with his foundation, Cultivating Compassion. Tim Scheib of Centroid 21 Real Estate, and can't forget the Royal Mile, who we're going to have this big blowout night party. So if people don't even come to opening night performance, come out to the Royal Mile about 10:30. We're going to have a nice Macbeth party. But
we got to get your brother and you and me and Bloom and sit around and talk soccer sometime.
Oh, yeah, maybe we do a whole podcast on that sometime.
Yeah, we should.
But the thing about Macbeth is that one of the reasons I chose is because I know we have a big following in the sports world. And of all the Shakespeares, this is the one that I think is the easiest to consume. It's pretty straightforward, the plot. The language is heightened, but still understandable fairly easily. It's got some sexiness in it, and it's got some violence and sword fighting. I have to say, I'm getting beat up.
You look all bruised, man.
I've been training for 6 months for this part to get in the shape of a warrior.
You look good.
Thank you. I got this, I don't know, jammed or sprained my thumb. I got this big bruises all over my leg. It's kind of towards the end for the epic fight between Macduff and Macbeth. It gets pretty rough out there, but it's all safe. It just happens that, like professional wrestling, sometimes you get some bumps and bruises. But I'll have to say that hopefully it does look easy out there for us, but I have to say that I leave it all out on the stage. It definitely is one of those that the whole cast, when you get done with Macbeth, you are exhausted. Your body and your voice is just shot.
It's like the end of fall camp for the Cyclones.
Sure. Yes, the
Except
end of fall
camp. Except
you
don't have the whole season in front of you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But we do have this whole run, and hopefully people, if you want to come out, I'd love it to stay afterwards, and I'd love to say thank you to you. We're running to December 12th through the 21st. You can go to iowaniceguy.com and snag some tickets, $15, $10 for students, and yeah, come on out and check out the photos. If anything else, just go on my Facebook. We have a great photographer, Eric Herman, who's been taking just awesome photos.
The promo photos have been nice.
Yeah,
I saw
really
Jordan's
great.
Too, and yours on Facebook. They look really cool.
It is. It's really good, and it's just the talented people involved in this production is just tremendous. And hopefully, this will be the start of many different productions. But please come out if you like the stuff we've done in the past. Give this a shot. I think you're going to enjoy it.
I'll be there. We'll be there one of these nights. We'll figure it out. Hopefully next week during finals week. It's usually a pretty good week for me. All right, let's talk a little sports. You and I think we had similar views, I think, judging by your tweets of what went down on Saturday night / Sunday. Rob Gray and I talked about this a little bit earlier in the week as far as the college football playoff goes. I don't want to reiterate my thoughts too much, but I'd like to get yours. I have no fundamental problem with Ohio State making the college football playoff. Deserving team. Resume is fine. No problem at all. What I do have a problem with is ESPN earlier in the week putting out their conference rankings, strength of conferences. The Big 12 surpasses the SEC. The first time the SEC hasn't been number one in years. Big 12's number one. You've got two Big 12 teams. You've got an Ohio State team whose best win was Michigan State.
Yeah. Michigan State. Yeah, I mean, you would think Wisconsin, but I think Wisconsin's totally overrated. Yeah.
Minnesota, a team that TCU beat 30-7.
Who Wisconsin beat.
Yeah. So this is my issue. I just feel like everybody overreacted. I think 52-0 is a great win. Don't get me wrong. But it really just bothered me how you're putting out these conference rankings these playoff rankings week by week. TCU's number three. Everybody knew they were going to kill Iowa State. They did exactly what they were supposed to do, 55-3. It could have been a heck of a lot worse, too.
Yeah, don't take a knee.
Yeah, if you watch that game. And then they drop from 3-6. Ohio State jumps in. But somehow Florida State, after beating Georgia Tech by 2, jumps TCU, too. That bothers me more than Ohio State getting it. And you can't have that playoff without Florida State. I'm not trying to argue that they should be out of it. It's just the principle of everything. And I am firmly convinced, there's no doubt in my mind, if TCU or Baylor is Oklahoma or Texas, the Big 12 is represented in that playoff in one way or another. There's no doubt in my mind. That's the problem I have with this, not specifically with Ohio State or the Big 10.
Absolutely. All three, TCU, Baylor, and Ohio State, all have arguments that are valid.
Yep.
My big issue is that now, with the way that the playoff committee is structuring things, is that conferences should not matter anymore. It should make no difference at all. It should go down by strength of schedule and your wins and losses. That should be your biggest thing. And when I look at the reason I would put TCU over Ohio State is because of the losses, the one loss that both of them have.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech is a terrible team, and I understand Ohio State is playing better right now than TCU, but it's supposed to be body of work the entire season, entire week one through the end of the season. And that, to me, is what I have a problem with, is that they put a lot more emphasis on the Big Ten title game than they did earlier in the season. It's got to be body of work. I have this problem in other sports like baseball. Wild card teams coming in who didn't even win their division and are now able to go through and win the World Series.
Like the Royals.
Yes. I have a problem with that because I want the regular season to mean something. Still means something. And the fact that TCU's one loss was to Baylor at home, and I understand the head-to-head matchup deal, but for me, I don't – if it was on a neutral field, it would be a different situation. Or if they would have lost to Baylor by 10 or 20.
Yeah.
But because it was such a close game –
they were up by 3 touchdowns in the second half.
Yes, absolutely. And they should have – if they win that game, this is a null and void argument.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my big issue, is that, again, people in college sports – or in football specifically, get very confused between the difference between standings and rankings.
Mm-hmm.
There's a totally different – a two-loss Alabama team, if say they had an extra loss, is still better than a one-loss Ohio State team. And I think you need to take that into consideration, what teams they're losing to, what teams they're playing. So ultimately, strength of schedule and wins and losses.
Well,
I don't care what conference you're playing in. I do not care.
If this is a way to look at what happened on Saturday. So let's just say, hypothetically, Alabama is undefeated. Going into the SEC championship game, they're playing a two-loss Missouri team, right? If Alabama loses the SEC championship game to Missouri, are you going to put Missouri in over a one-loss Alabama team?
No.
You're putting Alabama in the damn game. So my point is, these conference championship games, they really drive me crazy. I've seen so many crappy Big 12 championship games in my life. We've seen so many since the Big 10 created theirs. Seen so many crappy Big Ten championship games. Missouri won its division. Big whoop. They didn't deserve to play for an, quote, SEC championship. SEC championship game, a real one, you're playing Alabama and you're playing Mississippi State, period. That's what you're playing. So these divisions are ridiculous. I hate the way they're doing it now. Scrap those games. Play an 8-team playoff and go with it.
And
I don't like – everything smells fishy that went down on Sunday.
Well, it's definitely about a money grab. I mean, that's why you have championship games now, too. But if you're going to have the committees deciding things, then that throws a whole different wrench into the situation. And ultimately, though, I love that we're able to argue about who the fourth and Correct. Fifth best team is. I am certain that we have the top two teams. I don't know which ones they are, but the top two teams are in this 14 playoff.
That's a good point.
And ultimately, that's great. Now, if we push it to we're going to argue about who the eighth and the ninth best team is, that will be wonderful too. I'm okay with that. I'm also okay with this current situation. It does create an interesting situation with arguments and such. Either way, I'm fine. Ultimately, I just want to have a true national champion, and I think at least this system finally gives us that.
If Florida State would have lost on Saturday, which they almost did, and let's just say somehow Ohio State loses with its third string quarterback, which I thought would happen. I'm not a Big Ten guru, but I'm like, dude, it's their third string quarterback. They gotta lose. Had that happen, the Big 12 ends up with two teams. Bob Woolsey's not such an idiot anymore, right? So it's just that's why I feel like I use the word overreaction. I think everybody's overreacting. I think the committee overreacted to the Big Ten championship game. Now I think a lot of people out there in Big 12 country are overreacting when they're saying, hey, expand, do this, add a championship game. I just don't see that unless you can sweeten the pot, and they can't sweeten the pot. This is all about money. Cincinnati and Central Florida ain't adding to the pot. So, yeah, I don't see anything happening on that front. I'm with you. I'd like to see us weigh 15 weeks instead of one.
And here's something I just want to get off my chest. I don't think I've said this on any of the radios that I've done before. This is that it really annoyed me. People keep saying that Florida State is the defending national champion and that you should give them credit for that. That should have no – whoa, I just blew out the microphone.
We're good.
They should have no – that should have absolutely no bearing on this year's rankings. I don't know what – I understand there are players on there who are now on this team, but that should have last year should have no say on this year's rankings. And if it did, which it probably did.
It did. Why else would you drop TCU? TCU is ranked ahead of them. TCU won by 35. Now, granted, Georgia Tech's a lot better than Iowa State, but was Florida State's win by 2 points on a neutral field that much more impressive? You know what I mean? Would make that jump TCU? That's what I'd like to know.
That's ultimately the biggest mistake, right? And maybe the playoff committee could learn something from the NCAA March Madness committee, is don't release anything until the end of the season. Now, they're not going to do that because this is all about marketing and creating buzz. And as we saw,
it worked
every week. It worked really well. And I'm as guilty as anybody else of having fun with it and running the numbers and predicting what's going to happen. So ultimately, sports are supposed to be fun. I think this has been fun. Do I agree with it? Not really. Am I upset about it? Nah. I'm just happy that now we get to see two really great football games, which will hopefully be great football games, and then a really nice national champion. And we don't have to worry about votes anymore.
Yeah. It's just a catch-22 because people bitched about computers. And now it's, you know, I asked Rob this the other day. You're telling me that Tom Osborne, you know the style of ball he played, right? Triple option. You're telling me that Tom Osborne and Barry Alvarez, who wants coach Ron Dayne, okay, that they don't have a fundamental problem at all with the way Baylor plays football or the Big 12 for that matter? I guarantee they do. And I'm not saying that they went into that meeting and said, let's screw the Big 12, because I don't believe that. But I also believe in human nature. And you have a hard time convincing me that that doesn't have something to do with it, because I see it all the time with Big 10 fans. Oh, the Big 12 doesn't play deep. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We hear it all the time. And I have a hard time believing that those two gentlemen, who I have a ton of respect for both of them, but they're human beings, right? And we saw for decades they played winning football a certain way, and I bet you they believe that's how the game should still be played.
That's absolutely. But at the end of the day, you can only control what you can control, and that is you got to win your football games. You win all your football games if you're TCU or Baylor or any of the other teams, and you're in the playoff. And so it's one of those arguments we can get blue in the face about it. But ultimately, if TCU closes out Baylor after being up 21, this is not an issue.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They peed it down their leg, and credit to Baylor. But, you know, it's just one of those situations where I'll say it again. I'm just happy we don't have the old system. This is a much, much superior system. It'll continue to get better.
There'll be a pretty easy year for the BCS, though. You know, just put Alabama and Oregon.
Oh, sure.
Nobody would bitch about that. Who would have a complaint? Well, Florida State, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be Florida State and Alabama. I keep forgetting about Florida State because they haven't been there.
They've
won games, but they haven't looked good.
That they haven't. We're going to move to an 18 playoffs.
Who would you put? If you had one
I would not put Florida State in, and people are probably up in arms. They're undefeated, defending national champion. I honestly don't – I'm looking at strength of schedule.
Yeah.
Right?
You're coming at this from more of an analytical approach than you are.
Yes. The way that I would do it is I would try and project one – if I'm deciding between one team or the other, I try and project if Florida State was playing Alabama's schedule, how many losses do I think they would have? Do I think they would have one or two losses? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why I would try and project that out and figure it out. Same if Florida State's playing Oregon's schedule, they're going to have one or two losses.
And that's what I think irks a lot of Big 12 fans, because there's no question. I mean, if you just go straight by analytics, you go by the eye test, whatever, the Big 12 is a better league than the Big 10.
Oh, absolutely.
Year. And that's what irks a lot of Big 12.
Sure.
And the thing that bothered me the most, though, is when you're talking about A lot of criticism out there, and rightfully so, of Baylor's non-conference schedule.
Right.
And also TCU's, who played Minnesota, a good team. I think TCU's was a fair non-conference schedule. But nobody ever brings up that they only played three non-conference games, and they've got the nine league games. That doesn't ever get brought up in that conversation, which is a huge part of it.
Well, and my point is though, the conference you play in, honestly, how good your conference is should not matter.
That's a great take.
It shouldn't matter at all. It matters. That's why the non-conference should matter. If you just get out there, play some more difficult teams.
It should
be
weighing your 12-game schedule no matter who you play.
Exactly. Yeah. Look at Iowa's schedule this year.
It was garbage.
It was garbage.
Yeah.
They
if the Hawks
nobody.
Were 12-0, should they be in
no,
there?
No, yeah. They wouldn't be, and they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And that's one of those situations where you have to get out of this old way of thinking of the conferences. We have now changed that situation with the committee, and hopefully the committee itself realizes what it has at its disposal, which is an ability to look past the facade and the arbitrary nature of the conferences.
I want to get Tom Osborne and Barry Alvarez here on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
I'm sure they would do it.
Hey, you know a lot of people in the entertainment world. Could you get me The Bachelor? How can we get The Bachelor? He's an Iowa State grad.
Yeah.
We need to get The Bachelor on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
I have a connection.
I know he's an Iowa State grad, but he's a Hawk fan.
That's correct.
I believe. So he's kind of a little bit of a traitor, but I still would like to get The Bachelor on the podcast.
I bet we can make that happen.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
You could come in. We could have a round table with The Bachelor.
Sure.
That'd be awesome.
With three of us, it'd be more of a triangle table.
Maybe get Bloom in.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'd be a square table.
Yeah.
At what point does it become a round table?
Five? Do you have to have five and you have to make a bit of a circle? I only have four inputs.
Since I'm playing Macbeth, I'll reach out to my brother in King Arthur and see what he thought about making a round table.
I only have four inputs, so it's got to be a square table.
We can't use a splitter on one of these mics?
No.
Or share one?
No, we would suffer quality, which I'm not willing to do.
You never do that here at CycloneFanatic.com.
No, clearly we don't. All right, big basketball game coming up. If you want some actual analysis from the coaches, see, the women play at Iowa tonight. The men are there tomorrow. Last night on the Cyclone Fanatic radio show, Cornell Mann, Iowa State assistant coach, joined Bloom and I from Benchwarmers, and then Billy Finley did as well to preview the big games. He is the guy who is known as the Iowa Nice Guy, so we may as well talk about tomorrow's game. Is the Iowa Nice Guy, what are our plans for him? What's he up to?
We already have one more video in the hopper because people can't see this on the podcast, but I've shortened my hair.
Yeah, you look like Macbeth.
I have a goatee instead of a full beard. It looks pretty different than the Iowa Nice Guy, especially when I take the glasses off. But so we knew that was coming, so we have a funny video that'll come out here probably in the next month or two, another Iowa Nice Guy video. And then we're just going to be ramping up for the caucus cycle. You know, we made the transition politics again from sports when we made our faux run for governor, which was a lot of fun. And it caused a little bit of a shockwave, you know, throughout the country.
I was sorry that I couldn't make it to your party.
It's okay. It was a good loser part. I mean, nobody loses quite like the Iowa Nice guy. He loses like a champion.
Yeah, he does.
And so he gave an epic consolation, or what are you conceding?
Yeah.
Monologue, and it was fun to just do that and get involved a little bit. And hopefully maybe we got a few people to turn out to vote that didn't. But anyway, yeah, so we'll start turning in and maybe doing more skit videos with other individuals and just keep trying to grow the character and the brand. But hopefully, I really am hoping that at some point here in the future my career will grow enough and I'll be busy enough that we can retire the character.
What?
And go out on top. You know, that's the thing. Yeah. I don't want to hold on to it too
right,
long.
Costanza. You know, from the Seinfeld episode?
No, I don't.
Oh, what? Are you serious?
I mean, I know who he is. Oh, I don't know what that specific episode.
There's a Seinfeld episode where George is practicing showmanship. So, like, if he tells, like, a funny joke in a meeting and everybody laughs, he'll just get up and leave. So everybody remembers him on a high note.
That's not a bad idea.
You want to be Elway.
It's honestly one of the reasons why we decided not to do ESPNU this year. We did it for 2 years. It's quite a bit of work from not just myself, but from a lot of other talented people who do it every week, you know, behind the camera or writing. And so it was one of those things we felt we had had a pretty successful 2-season run.
You had a nice run.
And we thought, you know, we've proved that it wasn't a fluke. We should probably get out before it gets kind of stale. And I think we could have continued to do it for a few more years, but it was one of those situations where it's like, you know what? Let's go. Let's go run for governor and let's go do Macbeth. Let's keep challenging ourselves and pushing ourselves. We know that we can do it. And if we want to, maybe we can come back at some point. But definitely, I'd like to retire the character at some point. Maybe that'll be after I win an Academy Award.
We'll have to have like an epic retirement party.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, be fun.
Nebraskans allowed.
Yes.
Maybe we could get Bo Pelini to come now.
Maybe. I actually like Bo Pelini, to be honest with you. I really enjoy the guy.
His douchey quality went down tremendously this year.
Yeah.
I myself found him likable.
When he, after the Heroes game, I can't say that without laughing, after the Heroes game last year, when he went out there and was all angry, and he's like, you guys want to fire me? Fire me. Like, I'm like, I love this guy. I said it to my wife. I go, dude, that's my kind of guy. He just literally flipped everybody off in the room, the media, his own boss. That's a man's man right there. And I found myself, because all the Nebraska fans were rooting against him, I found myself rooting for Nebraska this year just to spite them. Seriously.
That's a weird place to be, Chris.
Yeah, well, you know, it worked. I actually enjoyed life a little more.
Well, that's good. I have to say I appreciated some of his comedy bits. You know, he brought the cat out in the spring game, did some of those funny photo things. I can appreciate that he seemed to become more self-aware. And also his sideline mannerisms were tampered down this year. It felt like he wasn't as crazy. There were some things he did that were really unprofessional and immature. And I feel like he started to he learned.
Yes.
And there's no doubt he's a solid coach. And what I think I just saw, he's taking the Youngstown State job.
Yes.
And so
that's,
you know,
good, because it's not Mangino's. I was a little concerned that Mangino would get that.
You know, I wasn't worried.
Well,
after
I don't.
This year,
frankly, I don't believe Mark Mangino deserves a head coaching job after the way the offense played this year. I think it made steps, but if I'm a athletic director out there, I'm not going, man, look at that.
That's what I mean. I didn't suspect he'd be gone.
But at that level, I thought he might be an enticing. He probably deserved to be on the list with his connections to that program and what he's done. But Pelini's a great hire for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's
great hire.
I mean, he won 9. I don't understand where they went with the hire. We could go on and on. That's been talked about ad nauseum. But it's, you know, hopefully we'll see Nebraska continue to sink farther and farther.
We were going to talk Iowa State, Iowa basketball.
Oh yeah,
coming up.
Get off of that
tomorrow. I wanted to know about the Iowa Nice guy and what the heck he was up to these days. Tomorrow night, Big Ten Network. It bothers me that this game gets buried on the Big Ten Network. This should be on one of the ESPN networks, but it's that, you know, it's that Big Ten deal, and they have to play. I hate this game on Friday night. I hate it. I get it. It's something to do with Iowa and their finals. I think it's on the Iowa City side is why they have to play this game on Friday. But it bothers me. This is really a much better product than the Cy-Hawk football game. It's not the event, but it's a better product. Tomorrow night, Carver Hawkeye is going to be nuts. And it's going to be just like last year, hell of a basketball game. And nationwide, not that many people are going to watch it. They're just not. Everybody in this – and not even this state. I mean, I think you got high school games and stuff like that going. I just hate the Friday night game.
Well,
I hate it.
I guess in a little bit of defense of national networks, I'm not sure that this has as much national appeal as we'd want it, even if it was on a different night.
No, but if it was on a Tuesday night, let's say ESPN at 7 o'clock, you'd have more casual viewers than you will on Friday.
Oh, no.
On the Big Ten network.
No doubt, but I feel like – they're looking at it as this is two Iowa teams. We're not.
Oh, you're
interested.
Right. You're absolutely right. But
well,
I feel
thank
like,
you, Chris.
But I feel like if they didn't have to play this game on a Friday, they could get more national attention. I do think like if ESPN has a crack at this game and they know it's on a Tuesday or a Wednesday,
and they run promos relentlessly,
ESPN would not snuff at the Cy-Hawk basketball game like they did in the McDermott and Licklider years. They wouldn't. It's an intriguing basketball.
Absolutely.
I mean, look at all the Iowa State and freaking UMKC was on ESPNU the other night. They're looking for anything they can get on a Tuesday.
To fill,
yes, they
sure.
do. So this would be a fairly appealing basketball game, I would think.
Well, from a college basketball purist perspective, absolutely. I mean, these are two solid teams that are looking at tournament runs, possibly deep ones. And also throw you and I in there. This
Iowa needs
right
to
now.
Get to the tournament first, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you know, even last year, heck, the way that the bracket worked out, if they beat Tennessee, which they were very close,
yeah.
and Duke lost, I mean, they really had a chance to make a deep run. That, you know, I could go on a diatribe about how ridiculous the March Madness bracket system is at crowning a national champion, and it's more about entertainment and making money, which I'm totally okay with. But it's not about crowning a true champion. You got to play a series in basketball, and way too many of these little teams are in there. But nevertheless, I digress, is that you're right. If even the what people call the play-in game, also, I want to say something about that. The brackets change. They expand. And back in the 80s, there were only 32 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to take this hard line that 68 teams, only 64 of those actually count in the tournament, then you need to go back, maybe only count the 32 that are your actual tournament games. Or go back even farther when there are 16 or 8. It's arbitrary. The whole thing's arbitrary. So if you're saying that Iowa only got into a play-in game, which is you're just probably hating.
I don't believe it was a play-in game, but I also don't consider it the tournament.
But it is the tournament.
But my whole deal, though, and I would say this if Iowa State was in it, if you're not like on Thursday, Friday when people are taking off work, are you really in the NCAA tournament?
Yes.
Why?
Because you are.
I just,
you know, by definition, you are. You are in the tournament. Now, granted, you can argue that the tournament shouldn't have so many teams, but it is the tournament. They got into the tournament.
Isn't the reason they added teams initially, though, is because of all the new conferences? They had to give the automatic qualifiers like a shot.
They added teams so that they could make more money, just like in the 80s
when
they added 32 teams.
When they initially, I'm talking years ago, added that one play-in game. I think they started off with one.
Or
maybe
two.
There
might
have been
two on both sides.
Where it was just like 2 16 seeds.
And then they had the first four and all that sort of stuff.
I think that was because, I mean, there's like 300 some Division I basketball programs now. I'm pretty sure like some conferences emerged. And then they got this genius idea and they looked at their pocket, you know, the what they could take home. And I'm sorry, I think you've got to play on. I think you've got to play on Thursday or Friday.
But here's what's
you
ridiculous.
You can still claim it. Like, I don't have a problem
sure.
with Iowa claiming it. I just.
But you have these teams
it
who
sucks.
Are
sucks. It's
little,
a sucky draw for them.
You have, New Jersey Scientific or whatever these little schools are who do make the quote-unquote tournament.
Yeah.
But that I mean, Iowa and Tennessee last year were way better than they were.
I completely understand your point. So my point is, for Iowa, it sucks. It sucks you got sent to Dayton. Because it could have been the other 12 seed.
Yeah, I mean, Dayton's just the bad part.
Dude,
I mean, that sounds so.
I'll never forget, I tweeted this last year, and all the Hawk Nation thought I was just straight trolling them, and I wasn't. They, right when they got selected to Dayton, I said, have fun in Dayton, Hawks. And I swear on the Bible that I did not mean that, like, in a condescending. It was because I was just there.
Sure.
You know, we were just there last year. Have fun. And, like, oh, my God, I got so much crap. I got so much crap from the Hawk Nation, which I get why they would think the Cyclone Fanatic guy would be trolling them at that point, but I swear I wasn't. but I really did feel bad for them. I felt so bad for our old intern, Matt Van Winkle, who's now at Channel 13. He had to drive with me to Dayton the year before, and he had to drive to Dayton the next year, too. Poor bastard.
That's brutal. Hopefully, maybe Des Moines can become that spot, take over for Dayton. I know that won't happen likely because of the quote-unquote history
Dayton,
of Dayton.
They have, like, nude photos of Mark Emmert or something. There's something going
on.
You
think
there.
This is blackmail or extortion?
Yeah. Well, that's the only reason you would put it there.
Isn't their building historic? That's why they have it there?
Historically, because it's old?
Yes.
I mean.
And it has a lot of history, which
I'll
makes
say
it
this,
historic.
They do a nice job with it from a media standpoint, but fans don't give a crap about that. I mean, fans, it's a cool building. I mean, it's a really neat place to watch a basketball game, but there's nothing there. Like the, I mean, we were, like, you know, we get done and you want to go have a beer. There's no bars to go to. There's nothing to do. If you're, you know, like we were right by the arena as the hotel. There's nothing. There's like a old Buffalo Wild Wings. It's like a drive-through Pizza Hut that's in campus, and there's a place called Ladder 11 and everybody or Ladder 59 or something like that, and everybody goes there. But there's nothing in that town. Nothing.
Except the NCAA
Except
first
the NCAA.
Four.
Okay, who do you think will win, Iowa State or Iowa?
I think Iowa State's going to win.
Do you?
Yeah, I think that. I know that Iowa has more experience in this game on their team. They're playing at home. But I just think Iowa State can get so focused in these big games. And if they're shooting just slightly well, they're more athletic. And they're going to be able to hit the boards. I know that Iowa has that inside presence that can cause problems for Iowa State. But I just think if I'm looking at the rosters up and down, there's so much more talent on the Iowa State side. I think it's going to be a close game. Probably, I would say Iowa State by about 6 or 7.
I agree with you on the talent comment. Iowa State's a more talented team. But they... I'm just thinking back to in Kansas City when it was, you know, Maryland got them down, them being Iowa State, and they just were horrible.
Well, they couldn't make a shot.
Well, they were horrible with the adversity, though. And what I'm saying is their body language. The good news is they've bounced back from that. They did not let that affect them the next couple of times out, which is great. But I'm just saying this is like a different level. They're going to face the adversity in Iowa City. How do they respond to that? If they respond well, they'll win the game. If they don't, Iowa's a good enough team to, you know, if Iowa State has any of those meltdown modes, they could lose by double digits too.
Whew, I don't see that happening. I honestly could see Iowa State coming out there and just shooting lights out and this thing being over relatively quickly. Iowa can't quite come back. They just don't have that emotional leader. That guy who can come down and just take over a game. And
they have a guy, but he plays the wrong position. Because Aaron White, I think, is a good leader. It's just hard for a guy like that to take over a game. They don't have a Bryce Dejon Jones.
Not as talented, but Harrison Barnes. He's very talented, not on the same level, but just there's something about how nice he is as a person, how he won't just go over and Kobe Bryant his teammates and say, you know what, I'm taking over this game. Get in line behind me. I'll get you the ball if you're open. If not, I'm taking it to the hole and mm-hmm. I'm going to win this game myself. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to be, I got it. And that there's an attitude that's missing. And the biggest difference I think between Iowa and Iowa State is I see it in the same as last year. Iowa State looks like they're having fun. Iowa looks like they're out there taking a final exam.
Yeah.
And there's two different styles. I would love to see the Hawkeyes sometime get out there, smile a couple times. Last year, it was frowny faces all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in a cheesy way, but it is.
I don't think
so serious.
I don't think Marble helped anything either.
No.
And listen, I'm not an Iowa basketball expert, but from watching what I watched, he looked like totally like Debbie Downer dude out there. Like, I don't think his teammates liked him. And from what I've heard, the background noise with Dad, you know, there's a lot going on there. I think they're better off without him, frankly.
Oh, I think they could be a stronger team.
He's a good player. I'm not saying him as a player. He's a fine player.
Yeah.
Get him now. But I don't know. I'm just – by what I watched last year, I think what you're talking about, a lot of that had to do with him.
Sure. But still this year, I haven't seen them out there. Even the North Carolina game, it felt stressful.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that comes from the head coach – But I would just love to see them not take themselves so seriously. Yes, you have to take it seriously to a degree, but when you're out there and you think it's life and death, it's not. And, you know, Fran McCaffrey's come out and talked about that with what happened with his son, that he's got a new perspective on, and maybe that will trickle down. It's college basketball, everybody. It's not as important as you think it is. Go out there, have fun. It's probably the best time of your life. Make sure you're having fun with it. Do the work, prepare, but when you're out there on the court, just relax, have some fun, play loose, go to the hoop, shoot it up. If you're missing it, who cares? Keep shooting. You know, we see that Fred Hoiberg tells his guys, missed 20,000 in a row.
Just keep going.
Keep going.
You'll
keep
make
going.
It eventually.
And it just makes it changes the atmosphere, and it doesn't make Carver-Hawkeye Arena feels, besides it looks like it's nothing but aisles in the crowd stands. Well, it just felt like there's a heavy cloud over it. And just lighten up. Lighten up.
Chill out, bro.
Chill out, bro.
Good stuff, Scott. Let's promote your play one more time, and then we've got to bounce. We're at 45 minutes here.
I know that
we've got Macbeth coming
that's
up.
That's right,
big
Macbeth,
deal.
And it's the Scottish play, as they say. I know most people that are listening to this aren't going to be coming on opening night.
Give me a good Scottish Friday. Accent, real quick.
We don't do Scottish. We're not doing Scottish accents in this play. It's written by Shakespeare.
Oh, okay.
It's not really written into the rhythm of the lines. The Scottish.
That would be very difficult.
But you know, go back to England. Tell them that Scotland's the brothers and sisters of free. You know, it doesn't quite work with. Is this a dagger I see before me? You know, it doesn't quite work as well. So we're just doing it straight American because the original pronunciation, or you'll hear it called OP of Shakespeare in his time 400 years ago, doesn't sound like the Queen's English that it gets pronounced all the time now.
Yeah.
It's much more was, for instance, a word war, that we say war.
Mm-hmm.
They would have said war. Uneducatedly, it's kind of piratey back then. So anyway, we're going to do it straight American, middle
America.
But we open on December 12th, Friday night. I know the big game's going on, so I won't expect too many people. But after that, 13th, 14th, and the following week, Wednesday through Sunday, 7:30 shows on every day but Sunday. Sunday's a 2 o'clock show, $15. For adults, 10 for students. IowaNiceGuy.com. Come on out and make sure you stop or stay around and say hello. And if you're around after the basketball game on Friday night, head on down to the Royal Mile and have a beer with us.
All right, buddy. Thanks for coming
Chris,
in.
Chris, I really appreciate having me on,
let's
man.
Do it again.
Okay.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, maybe next time we don't have to talk any theater. But maybe we can make that a thing anyway.
Well, I love it.
Well, hey, fans that are listening to this right
let
now.
Let us know.
Let us know if you want us to talk more theater.
If you want us to go back to the glory days of ISU theater or not, we'll go by you. He's Scott Sipker. I am Chris Williams. What are you on? What's your Twitter?
You can go mine's Twitter. At Scott Sipker.
At Scott Sipker.
Yeah, I'm getting close to 10,000 people. So, you know, I appreciate the support if anybody wants to get me to that 10,000 mark.
Cool.
I'm chasing you, Chris.
All right. Well, I think we're like even. We're probably pretty even. I'm not to 10,000.
You're not?
No.
No.
No, I'm a
loser.
Guess
I'm a better man than you.
I'm a loser. You are. He's Scott. I'm Chris. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend. And tomorrow night, if you're driving over to Iowa City, be safe. Toodles.